Okay, this is it. Number 3 is the Pirate Punk Rock Radio Show. We've got special guest Matt Sargent later from Sham 69. I'm your DJ, Free the Spirit, and this is The Users, produced by Dave Goodman. It's Dead on Arrival. That was recorded back in 1977 by The Users, a band that came from Cambridge. That was produced by Sex Pistols producer Dave Goodman, who's actually playing bass on there as well. And so is the next track, again from 77, a band called The Maniacs, featuring Alan Lee Shaw, who's now in The Damned, amongst others. It's called Chelsea 77.
I'm
The Maniacs, Chelsea 77, recorded in 1977, as indeed was his next band. This band were front. They only released one single, and they had Tommy Trouble on bass, who used to be in the Arrows. He was Ben really, married Marianne Faithfull. They had Drew Blood, who was an old friend of mine, going way back before the punk days, on guitar and vocals. And Drew got married to Angie Bowie. And had, drummer, I used to play with Graham Broad. Great drummer. He's played with Pink Floyd, Beach Boys, all sort of people. He's on drums. And John Porter on guitar, who was playing with Clapton at the time, but he went on to produce the Smiths and that. So quite a seminal lineup here. And again, it's produced by Dave Goodman. So this is Front and Queen's Mafia. So, our special guest in the studio today, live in the studio, is someone I've had the pleasure to know for a good 10 years now, fellow bass player. He writes some poppy songs in a punky kind of way. He's been into punk, heavy rock, death metal, we won't talk about that, ska, blue beat, and now he's in a comedy band called Splodgeness Abounds, amongst other bands. He's been working on his amazing projects, the Sex, Drugs and HIV, a Treble compilation album with over 280 musicians from the most seminal of British punk and American punk bands. We'll talk about that later. And he's also writing a book. I think he's almost completed his memoirs. He's none other than Matt Sargent. Matt.
Hello.
Welcome to the Punk Rock Radio Show.
Thank you very much.
All right, okay, well great. You'll see you've got some really interesting songs you brought along, some scratchy old records as well.
Yeah, just what we could dig out, yeah.
We don't mind a bit of vinyl crackle, do we? So, let's go back to your first sort of musical experience. You know, can you remember first sort of music you heard that you liked? How old were you? Where were you?
Yeah, I must have been about 4 or 5 years old. Just sort of sat around listening to my sister's records, really, so my sister that got me into music, really.
What year would this be?
Oh, this 75, I would have said.
So what sort of music were you getting off on then?
T-Rex, Slade, Basic Rollers.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's sort of pop music of its time.
Yeah, just, yeah, basically what my sister was into.
Bit of glam. And what about the image? Can you remember seeing the bands at all at that point?
Don't really remember watching much on TV, but just my sister's friends, you know, all the tartan gear and then Saturday Night Fever.
All right, was your sister a Rollers fan?
Yeah, she was into Rollers, yeah.
Okay, brings us to the first record you chose for us here. Well, you want to introduce it?
This is Angel Angel by the Basic Rollers.
Goes the Basic Rollers, and we have special guest in the studio today, Matt Sargent, who's chosen the music for you, and he's telling us his life story basically. Matt, another question: when did you first get into playing music yourself?
I got into playing music myself, I suppose, was in the local church choir.
Right.
I used to live at the bottom of the hill from the church, and got into the choir.
All right, lovely. And what sort of bands did you start getting into after the sort of Rollers?
Well, after my sister's stuff, I sort of started listening to Top of the Pops, watching Top of the Pops on, I think it was Tuesday nights then.
Mm.
And there was a song called Message in a Bottle by The Police, which I suppose was 1979, got number one. And I remember watching it with my mum, with all these, on the video, there's loads of punks in the background hanging around on the King's Road. And she said, oh, you don't turn out like that.
Of course, because that was it, you damn right away.
The, rebellious mode. And I don't know, I think it was like the guitar intro that really sort of captivated me, and just got right into The Police, bought all the albums, and I was a... banging at them.
So you sort of decided then that's what you wanted to be when you grew up, a musician.
Yeah,
you still do, don't you? You
stink
when you grow up. All right, and then how did that develop into the punk music?
Well, I started playing, I got a school band together called Cut Out, which is a three-piece. I was singing and playing bass, like Stink. And... yeah, we sort of got into each other's music. The drummer was into sort of gothic Smiths sort of folk.
But before that, you sort of got into the Subs quite early?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was listening to bands like UK Subs, and one of the tracks I did keep on running was really similar to Messaging Bottle.
That's our next it's single, 45 vinyl on the turntable coming up, UK Subs and Keep On Running. And the boys. You were telling us about the school band Cutout, and I seem to remember you saying it's around that time you moved to London.
Yeah, I moved to London when I was about 14, and
you never ran away from home.
No.
Your family came with you.
That's right, I moved with my mum and dad. My dad's business, he was an architect, he moved to London.
Yeah.
So dad's a business brought to London. So started a new school. And I'd got a bass guitar for my 14th birthday.
Oh great, so did I. That's what I wanted. Yeah. My mum went out and picked it out of a second hand one at a junk shop. £14. How much was yours?
£52.
Ooh, wow, yes, yeah. Okay.
Oh. So, yeah, I got that. And that was on condition that I kept up my cello lessons.
Oh, right.
So I did.
It must have helped cello lessons enormously with the bass.
Well, when I actually... I did cello for 4 years, and I went on to double bass for a couple of years. And it definitely helped on the double bass, because it was a nightmare getting on the bus home from school.
Isn't it tough? As you know, I've... I'm one, taking it to gigs on the roof of the car.
Yeah, you know it. I'm glad I'm not in a psychobilly band.
Yeah, I always get a problem with the spike sticking in the neck, you know, when you hold it up. Like. Anyway, enough about that double bass of jokes. Where were we? Oh, so he's in this three-piece trio.
That's right, yeah, Cutout. And I think we did our first gig at the Cedars in Clapham Common. We got paid £55 and we were really chuffed, you know. Great.
Oh, okay.
Got to do some more of this.
And you're listening to one another's music, swapping influences, into the Smiths, Cult, and...
Yeah, all that type of thing. The guitarist was kind of into the Clash and the Ruts and the Who and the Jam. and I kind of really got into the Who through him, you know, when the Keith Moon element of him smashing things up, and used to smash guitars up and rebuild them all, and just experimenting, taking drugs. And
well, look, that leads us to the next track. You can announce it, and while it's playing, we can get a few guitars and smash them up in the background.
All right, yeah, you're on.
Go on then. What's
this? This is The Real Me by The Who.
Favourite bands from my youth. I remember actually seeing The Who rehearse as a kid in the where my dad used to play football in his firm's this is in Brentford or near Austerlitz, and they used to take me down, and he used to be refereeing or playing football, whatever, and if it used to get a bit cold, he used to leave me in the clubhouse, and there'd be a room at the back, and I remember him taking me in there on a couple of occasions and just saying to the band, do you mind if my son sits here? And I sat there watching them play, and when they were the high numbers, I must have been about 11 or something like that. So I knew a lot of those songs before they came, you know, and when I was like 14, 15, anywhere, anyhow, can't explain, were just monster hits.
Yeah, Quadrophenia is a bass player's Bible.
My generation, absolutely, yeah. Ooh, what a bass player.
Oh,
and bless him. And as John
the Ox,
Johnny Rotten mentioned him, they dedicated a substitute to him, didn't they?
He's alright.
He's gone to a better place. Oh, can you hear the thunder outside?
Yeah.
It's thundering here up on Gypsy Hill. So, when we mention dear John Entwistle, who's just left this world.
Yeah, yeah.
The thunder roars for him. Now, it's
cheers, John.
Cheers, mate. All right, yeah. Mr. Entwistle. So, you left home when you was around about 15.
Yeah.
You started squatting, didn't you?
Yes, well, I started off in Bromley. I was part of the South East London Musicians Collective, which was kind of like the remnants of the Bromley contingent, which was like Sid and Susie and Billy Idol. It was kind of like the new one. We were doing gigs at the Black Horse in Catford. That was kind of like our regular. I don't think it's called the Black Horse now. But, yeah, started doing.
It's called the Frog and Sprocket on lettuce at the moment. But anyway, yeah.
So, yeah, we used to do sort of regular gigs there as cut out. I was DJing in a club called the Harp Club, which is now the venue.
Oh, in New Cross. Yeah. Right.
And
what sort of music were you playing? I hear it was a bit goffy then.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't all my cup of tea, but I mean, I used to play the Smiths, Iggy, a bit of everything really, you know.
Bit of Joy Division?
Yeah, the Damned, you know, bit of New Rose, all that sort of.
And the band that's the next on the turntable?
Well, yeah, the Temple of Love by Sisters of Mercy, this kind of sort of summed it up for me at the time.
What, in what way?
Just the kind of the scene of the time, mm-hmm. which must have been around 86, I would have said.
Mm-hmm. Alright, that's it. Let's get away. Okay, heady days of 1986-ish, were we there?
Yeah, around that time for me, yeah.
And then you played with all sorts of bands next week, didn't you?
Yeah, I kind of auditioned for loads of bands. I've been... Melody Maker have this thing in the back, and NME at the time, and just went through for... must have been about 70 auditions, you know, looking for a band that was just right, you know. I just tried... maybe just singing or just playing the bass.
So you look out for Johnny Boy, bass player, wanted
yeah.
low wages, must have a van. And
wanted Johnny, yeah, that was me. But yeah, I just couldn't really find anything, you know, but I mainly played for rock bands, you know, bands like Metallica, and got into bands like Iron Maiden and the heavy rock scene.
All right. And then it's around about this time you discovered the Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie Harper, a singer from the Subs, he got a tattoo on his arm called that said "Don't Fear the Reaper," which is a Blue Oyster Cult song. And again, it was just one of these songs that kind of meant something to me at the time. It was around the time I was diagnosed HIV positive.
Right.
And "Don't Fear the Reaper" kind of.
Matt, can you remember where you first heard it?
Where did I first hear it? First time I heard it was 1982, and it was the rhythm guitarist from Cutout, was a Blue Oyster Cult fan, and he gave me a couple of Blue Oyster Cult albums to listen to.
Right, and this track sort of stuck out, and it sort of became meaningful in a way, because as you say, you just was diagnosed as being HIV.
That's right.
Positive. And I remember you telling me about this, that you think maybe you got infected by a liaison with your father's maid, is that right?
No. Well, basically, it was just one of those things where I was just unlucky. I mean, at the time, I was diagnosed 87, 88, and it wasn't kind of widespread known then. I mean, the dangers were kind of... out there, people knew of the dangers, but it wasn't kind of in the press, and I was just very unlucky, just shagging around.
Hmm. Right, well, fortunately...
Dad's maid.
No, that's just what you told me. No, you had one thing, don't you remember telling me that? In his
you
house in France.
You weren't
going to
mention that.
Oh, sorry, okay. Well, anyway, it's, you know, it's got to come from somewhere, isn't it? But you know,
implant.
You're a good example of somebody who's like, you know, not only sort of survived, you know, but sort of become stronger in a way because of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I say, when I was first diagnosed, they didn't know very much about it, and they gave me between 3 and 5 years to live, and. I basically wanted to live life to the max, you know, and so I did. But I carried on living, and now I'm in the survivor's bracket.
Right. Well, good. I mean, you're surviving really well. And the project that you've been working on, we've been working on together for at least the last, I think it's 7 years, isn't
That's
it?
That's right, yeah.
Sex, Drugs and HIV Treble Concept album, which is almost nearing completion, all by one song, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, one or two, yeah.
And the movie that goes with it. The
yeah.
Punkumentary, it's incredible. Just name some of the people on the album who's performing on it.
Oh, I don't know where to start, really. A lot of my friends, musicians I've kind of met on the road. Vom, Doctor and the Medics, now playing with the Hosen. Rowley Wynn, he was with the Osric Tentacles, Seaweed, Tony Hadley, Spandau Ballet, Nico McBrain, Iron Maiden, just seems too many to mention really.
Wayne County,
yeah, he's been down there.
Captain Sensible,
yeah.
Polystyrene, now Maharani, Glenn Matlock.
No. There was a plot to kidnap him and bring him to the studio, you know, but he got whiff of it and...
Tony Barber, Rotten Johnny.
Yeah.
We'll be hearing more about that later, and we'll actually hear some of the tracks of that. And we will feature that very heavily on the Pirate Punk Rock Radio Show. But right now, we're ready for your next choice, the Blue Oyster Cult, and the song... Don't Fear. Don't Feel the Reaper there by Blue Oyster Cult, and it's brilliant to hear that again. That's I've forgotten what such a good record it was.
That was excellent, yeah.
Now, around about this time you got into like ska?
Yeah, I mean, I'd auditioned for loads of bands. I hadn't really found what I'd wanted. So I remember listening to a lot of ska when I was a kid. When I mean ska, I mean the beat.
I feel like more two-tone.
Yeah, the two-tone thing.
Yeah.
And so I decided to put a ska band together, a six-piece ska band with a three-piece brass section, and doing original stuff, and dressing up with the trilbies, and, you know, just having a bit of fun, you know.
And who wrote the songs? Did you?
I wrote most of them. The guitarist and the keyboard player wrote a lot of stuff as well.
Right.
And we did gigs supporting the selector and the beat. And
this is the Pneumatics, isn't it?
The Pneumatics, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
All right, and you did some recording?
Yeah, we did a 4 or 5 track demo, never got released. So it's out there somewhere.
Have you got a copy of it?
I have somewhere, yeah.
All right. I was going to say, would you...
I'll bring it over, yeah.
Yeah,
give it a play later.
And... Soon you were to move on and join Chelsea?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was running side by side with Chelsea because I kind of got this ska band together, and then I was roading for the UK subs at Brixton Academy and met Gene October, and I complimented on Chelsea. I said, oh, you're good. He said, oh, well, we would have been if the bass player hadn't left last night. So I said, oh, do you need a bass player? He said, yeah. So, got to cutting a long story short, joined Chelsea. I was doing both the ska band and Chelsea together. Ska band lasted about 2 years. And,
we split up. Was Stuart the drummer, who, because we worked together on Chelsea, didn't we? And we produced
right.
Two albums together at least.
Uh-huh.
Stuart was in the Pneumatics as well.
That's right. He couldn't do both because he had a kid on the way and a mortgage and blah, blah, blah. So we replaced Stuart in the Pneumatics with the Beats drummer, Everett Morton, which was kind of like a buzz for me growing up with the beat and stuff. So that was excellent.
Everett, we've had him in the studio.
Yeah, had him on the drummer. Project.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So then you're in Chelsea and... Really, I suppose this leads us into the next track you've chosen, which is a madness track.
Yeah, I mean, basically, around this time, I'd kind of gone through a relationship breakdown. I was doing the sofa circuits, sleeping on friends' front room floors and on their sofas, and this song reminds me of those.
Crying on their shoulders and that, yeah. All right, so which track is it?
Bed and Breakfast Man. We'll be right back.
Madness has got to be one of the greatest British pop bands, aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah.
We are so proud of those guys.
Excellent videos.
Brilliant production. Like punky sort of Kinks or something in a way. Very much people's music.
Party music.
Mm, good choice. Now, where are we? I mean, you've done the Chelsea thing. We started work on the... Let's talk about the Sex, Drugs and HIV project, right? It's set up... It's to raise money for charity.
That's right.
When it's finally finished. You've been filming everything in the studio, back room.
Funny
scenes.
Stories, yeah, the lot, yeah.
There could be at least a 12-hour punkumentary there, couldn't there?
Well, we're going to chop it down and turn it into three-hour DVDs. That's the plan.
And you formed the live band, which I was a witness at the Chislehurst Caves gig, which is rather amazing. That's been filmed. That forms part of the trilogy, the album, doesn't it?
Yeah, the live album is the third album, part of the trilogy.
Okay. Now, we've mentioned some of the names earlier, who we got on them. We're going to play some tracks later on from this project. I mean, we always joked, didn't we? You know, you say, it won't be finished by December. And we say, yeah, what year is that then, Matt?
What millennium is
it going to be? This project spanned like two millenniums already. But, hey, you know.
Yeah, it's a big project. It's taken a lot of getting together. I've been taking the reins and having to keep an eye on everything, practically doing most of it myself. So it's been a lot of wading through stuff and tape. And
I've been a witness to that, and you've been marvellous how you've managed to raise money to pay towards the studio costs and stuff from the little money you earn here and there, you know, dole check here.
Charity bash at Chislehurst Caves, yeah.
Yeah. And if it wasn't for you, this project wouldn't exist. All these people were brought together. It's absolutely amazing. Can you imagine, you know, having a track that's got Captain Sensible on bass, Polystyrene on vocals, you know, who else?
On that track, who else do we have? The guitarist from the Damned, Alan Lee Shaw, Rowley Winn, Rick Tentacles, Andy Reid playing drums for RDF, Chelsea, Christine Death.
It's an amazing project, and you know, I believe it might take a time to get it out and finished and out, but once it's out there, it will be around for, you know, millennium to come.
It's very difficult to explain the whole project, you know, in just a few words. It'll be nice to get it finished, say this is what it's about, and then you can do the old hippie thing where you can open up the cover and read all about it.
So how does that link us to the last track, track number 70 that you've chosen for us, which is, you were saying earlier, is one of the first bands that really inspired you, The Police.
That's right.
And,
well, this track, I think that The Police were known for a lot of Sting's songs. Sting was a main songwriter, but I also liked Stuart Copeland. I thought the ideas he had were good. And I think he was more of a punk. And I'd like to play a track called A Sermon.
You
Lovely choice of music there, Matt Sargent. Thanks for coming down. I know you limped all the way here from the Outer Hebrides. And that.
The Gypsy Hill Tavern.
I know. Well, you can do a bit of busking outside and maybe get some money to get you back home, you know. Well, that. Otherwise, you're waylaid here in
Gypsy Hill. You said it's 40 quid.
You have to pay us 40 quid, Keith. So, look, good luck with all your projects, and we'll certainly network them on this show, on the Pirate Punk Rock Radio show. And I want to play one of your many bands you're playing, but the Sham 69 track from which album was it?
If it's one of mine, it's probably from the Direct Action album.
You know the track. What are you ashamed of in Britain today?
That's right, showtime, 15 minutes.
All right, cheers, Matt.
What are you ashamed of in Britain today?
You can feel
nothing.
Well, the traffic and...
I'm a burnt out car, I'm a Babylon vibration, I'm on CCTV, and I know you're watching me. I'm a clone of barcode, I'm electric overload, I'm on CCTV, and I know you're watching me. As I overtake the slow, my image is identified wherever I may go. It's showtime, we know who you are. You had 15 minutes in the back of the car. It's showtime, we know who you are. You're a 21st century superstar.
What are you ashamed of in Britain today?
I'm a burnt out car, I'm a Babylon vibration, I'm on CCTV, and I know you're watching me. I'm a clone of barcode, I'm electric overload, I'm on CCTV, and I know you're watching me. Turn to jam on the M25.
What are you ashamed of in Britain today? What are you ashamed of in Britain today? What are you ashamed of?
So I'm going to feature another track from that involves our featured artist on this show, Matt Sargent. It's one of another one of the bands he plays in, Chelsea, Gene October on vocals, and it's a track he wrote and he's playing bass on, and it's the album's called Trader's Gate by Chelsea, again produced by this Dave Goodman character. He gets around, doesn't he? Recorded at Mandala Studios in Gypsy Hill. Blimey, that's where we are now. What a coincidence. It's called This Is Now. Time is it? It's now on the Punk Rock Pilot Radio Show. We've got about enough time for one more track. So the one I've chosen is the band Pretty Things, who were like more outrageous than the Rolling Stones, I guess. They were on EMI. And they did some amazing recording. Some of it got banned because it was anti-war. This is around the time of Vietnam. Pro-drugs. First concept album, really, before Tommy. Before the Kinks, Arthur. It's SF Sorrow. Peerley played this against the BBC banning it. And he was reprimanded. But he played it once. And it went up, you couldn't get it for a long time, but now it's back on your shelves. But this is not from SS Sorrow, it's from an outtake. This is probably a demo they were doing for the SS Sorrow project. It's talking about the good things, the pretty things. So incidentally, I remember at the Lyceum once, doing the sound for the Sex Pistols, and we were supporting the Pretty Things all night. Joe Strummer was in the audience, Billy Idol, Mickey Jones, Wally Pistol, he was there. So anyway, let's hear Pretty Things and Talking About the Good Times.
Yeah.